Welcome, everybody, to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza. You know what that drum means. That's the drum. That's we, the drummers, bringing in my guest on their shoulders. Okay, my yep. Special guest is somebody that has been with me, you know, pretty much ever since I started broadcasting. I've been very, very fortunate to have been introduced to my special guest, and I'll get to him in a second. Many years ago, over a decade ago, we've been doing interviews, and once I heard this brother's powerful, powerful testimony, it blew me away. It really, really blew me away. Real quick story, how I got into the broadcast industry, and now this is going to segue into how I met my guest. I just graduated from broadcasting school and was trying to break into the broadcasting industry. And so I was interning over at WOL and XM Radio, and one of the programmers came to me and offered me an opportunity and said, "Hey, Juwanza, would you be interested in hosting a talk radio show on relationships?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course. I mean, I'll take anything. I would host a show on auto mechanics if they asked me. I was just trying to break into the industry." Well, it just so happens that they replaced the person that was doing the holistic health show. So they came back to me and asked me, "Well, would you be interested in doing a show on holistic health?" And of course, I didn't know anything about holistic health at the time, but I was like, "Yeah, yeah, heck yeah, I'll do it." And so after that, I started realizing that, okay, so now you got to find out some information about holistic health. And so I started asking around, and one person's name just kept coming up. You know, people would ask me, "Do you know Coy Dunstan? Are you familiar with Brother Coy Dunstan?" And I'm like, no, I'm not familiar with Brother Coy, you know. And so somebody gave me his number, and I reached out to him, fortunate enough to set up an interview, and he came in. And I've been interviewing him ever since, but his testimony was so powerful that I just couldn't stop interviewing him, and I wanted to share him with everybody that I met. And I've been doing that ever since. I share him with people. I send people to him. I refer him to people, those who will listen. And he's got a remarkable testimony, and I'm just very, very fortunate enough that God allowed our paths to cross because he's been very, very instrumental in my own life, you know. So, I mean, if ever there's a need that arises that I need to go to him, I do. But thank God, because I met him, I don't even have to go to him because I followed the instructions. I hear him share. And it's just a blessing to have him on. Brother Coy, welcome back to Juwanza for Life, my brother. Thank you again for being my guest. Always a pleasure to have you.
Good to hear from you again, and I say good evening to your family and your listening audience. Good to be with you again, and we're going to do another interview tonight. Yes, sir.
It's going to be powerful. It's going to be really, really powerful. You know, brother, there are people that, again, I always ask you to share your testimony. I've heard it enough that I could share it for you, but I'll let you do it, you know, because it's so powerful. It's so powerful. It's what kept me coming back. It's what kept me coming back to share this information with people, because that you're going to share the money that you have is something that really should have made news. So let me move out of the way, Brother Coy. So just for starters, so that people know why they're listening to you and what brought you to this path of holistic health, what got you started? And this has been over 35 years ago. So what got you started in the holistic health field?
Well, it's a roundabout story. I didn't know anything about health either. And in terms of how it affected me individually or my family or us as a race, and what happened was I had just graduated from law school, and I had gone home to see my mother down in North Carolina. I took off, went home just to take a break and get my head together. And when I got there, my mother had just come from the doctor, and she was saying that you know, the doctor told her to go to Duke University as fast as she could because something was going on with her, and he didn't feel that he could give her a full review of what was going on with her. So he referred her to Duke University, like that's about 30 miles away in the city of Durham. So the next morning, my dad and I got up. We went down and drove down to Duke, and they admitted her in and gave her all these tests. And by the end of the day, they came back and said they were going to keep her. So not knowing what to expect, I was just there. I thought it was just something to go in and she'd be, or they give her some pills or something and she'd be okay. But before it was over with, they came out and told us that she had cancer. They had detected cancer in her breast, both breasts, and her liver and her colon, and that they were going to keep her for a while and see what they could do for her before they released her or let her go. So with that news, I was kind of set back. Say, I know a lot of people have cancer, but particularly family members. But and I thought it was a death sentence. You know, we say, well, we'll see what happens, and we all went waited and went home that night and came back the next day, and they said they were working with her. They were going to try to find out if there was anything they could do for her. I guess they made her as comfortable as they could, and they kept her for about 3 weeks, I guess. So after a while, they say, well, we're going to do this and, we're going to have to give you chemotherapy because that was the up-and-going treatment they was testing at the time. And they gave her, she said she would talk it over with the family and let them know. She asked me, what would I do if I was her? And I say, well, you know, I don't know anyone that has really recovered from cancer in that respect, and I don't know that much about what's going on with you. But if it was me, I think if it, the report that we got, I think we just better go home and get ready. And that's what I would do. I would go home and get ready to meet my maker. So after a day or two, she took my advice and she left the hospital. And after we got her home, I felt like that was something, I felt obligated to do something to see if there was any other options that were available. And that's how I got into the health food industry. I ran into a company called Nature Sunshine, a fellow from Richmond. I met him on the street. He just came up to me and handed me some papers, and the papers were all about the herbs and how to use them and how to heal the body and how to reverse disease. And I said, man, let's go. Let me do this. So I joined the company, and we started using the herbs and all the little home remedies that we knew. I knew honey was the first medicine, so the honey, and we got her off the diet right. No dairy, no sugar, no meat. So I prepared the food for a while, and she was kind of resistant at first because when someone tells you you're gonna die, it's not the best news in the world. So she was very resistant and kind of angry and. I guess if anybody ever gone through that with a cancer patient, that they know what I'm talking about. But first they have to accept the fact that they are sick, and then they have to decide that they want to live. So we took her through that process. It took about another week or so of up all night working, running around with her and me and my dad. And finally we got down to a place to where she, I guess, decided to live. I kept bringing stuff to her and telling her to take it and kept giving her stuff. And after a while, she settled down and we got her on a good program of fasting and enemas and all the things I knew that they had told me that would work. We tried it all. And lo and behold, she started to get better. So after about a month or so, I guess, the company Nature Sunshine came out, found this herb called Pardaco, and it had this reputation of emptying the cancer wards down in Mexico, but no one had heard about it in America. So we started using the party alcohol, making it and drinking it all day. And after about 3 months, she went back to the doctor. They told her that we don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, keep doing it because you should be dead. And so we continued to do the program, continued to work on the diet, continued to, you know, all the things that we were doing, we kept doing. And she lived 10 years after that. And after that, wow. I was convinced that, you know, why is it that we are dying like this if we don't have to? So mm-hmm. I got set this quest out, probably about 6 months after we found out she had the cancer. I opened up my first store in the Washington, D.C. area, and it was called Yours Naturally at the time. And we started there, and we worked, run that for about 10 years, and then we changed the name to Secrets of Nature and moved out to the south side of D.C., and I've been working out here since 1990. And this is my life's work, and this is what I've been doing, and I think I've helped a few people to the point to where they recognize me now, and they take care of me over here, so I'm feeling pretty good about where I am and what I do. So I'm thankful that God has kept me and given me the ability to do what I do. So that's how I got involved in it, and that's why I do what I do every day, so. It's been quite rewarding for me and the people that I've helped.
You know, Brother Coy, what's so interesting, one of the very interesting things about your testimony is that, again, if you tell the average person that they've got 6 weeks to live, and they ask your opinion of what should they do, and the choice is either chemotherapy or get out of the hospital and go home and get ready to meet your maker. You know, most people, once your response was, well, if it was me, I would just get ready to go home and meet my maker, they would say, well, hey, I was just asking what you would do. You'd be like, I was just asking what you would do. Okay, but now, you know, show me the chemo. You know, a lot of people have made that choice, and a lot of those people are no longer here. And her to even, I mean, she had to really trust you in that.
Yes.
You know, she trusted you above the doctors. You know, she really trusted you above the doctors. And her life was truly in your hands. And if I may ask, was it a consensus amongst everyone in the family? I mean, because again, with her life in your hands, I mean, your siblings could be like, Coy getting ready to kill mama, you know?
Well, I don't know why, but I didn't run into that. I have a younger sister and a younger brother, and I'm right in the middle. I'm 5 years older than my younger brother, and I'm 5 years older than my, well, however that go. I'm in the middle. I'm 5 years older than the youngest one and 5 years younger than the one next to me. So it wasn't a lot of confusion around. And I think that's probably why it happened, because it was, you know, I was the only one in the house with my mother, really, for that time. And the rest of the family that were there, they were just children. And they had no idea what was going on. And my the brother younger than me, I think he was just starting college or something. He was getting ready to go to college. So he wasn't thinking about much of what was going on. And my oldest brother, they had moved out of, the older children had moved around. They were married, had their family. So I didn't get a lot of resistance in that respect. And I don't know how it happened, but it worked out, that God worked it out somehow so that we didn't encounter any resistance from it. The biggest resistance was with my mother. She had to decide to live and then decide to do what was necessary to make that change. And once we got through that, it was pretty much smooth sailing.
Wow. And that was 35 years ago, approximately, maybe a little more, huh?
Well, probably about 38 now, 1980.
Wow.
About 37 years ago, 1980.
That is That is a very, very powerful testimony. And throw in this too, that you met an angel. See, this is how angels show up. They don't have wings and you know all of this. You met an angel in Richmond.
He just showed up. I don't even remember how I met him. I think I had just stopped in Richmond on the way home or coming back to D.C. or something. Somehow we met on the streets in Richmond, and he just happened to have the information I was looking for, and I soaked it all up.
Wow. Well, everybody, I mean, when you hear that type of a testimony, we're not talking about somebody who's saying, I believe it works because I read it somewhere. I'm sure that as a result of reading and researching the company and reading their material, you became convinced that you had nothing to lose by trying it because, again, the doctors had only given her 6 weeks to live. So,
yeah.
I mean, that had to really increase your faith in God. If you believed in him prior to that, which I know you did, it really had to just further increase your belief in a higher power.
It did, and knowing if I had known what I know now, then I would have it wouldn't have been such a shock to me. But it shocked me that it was it made me get into really what the Bible was talking about and how to apply the Bible to your life, your faith, the wisdom that you get from the Bible. All of those things will work if you allow it to. And that's what I have. I think that was the biggest benefit I got from of it, to be able to verify and justify what the Bible say is true and that we can count on it.
Well, everybody, my special guest today, again, is King Coy Dunstan. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. And we're going to be talking tonight about facts, faith, food, and the secrets of nature. Again, facts, faith, food, and the secrets of nature. So a lot of times, Brother Coy, when we're talking to people and they're hearing this type of information for the first time, many times people rely on if they have some sort of religious reference, whether it's Christianity or Islam or whatever people's faith is, they rely on that faith. And in very many cases, when it comes to sickness and disease, if, for example, somebody is unfortunate enough to, you know, catch something or come down with some or be diagnosed with a disease, one of the first things people do is pray. Pray, God, why me? You know, you know, me, heal me, you know, whatever it is. And they exercise faith. In many of the traditions, the religious traditions, they teach faith. And we talk about, and I know about Christianity, they'll, you know, that they talk about God as a healer and use different attributes to in reference that God is all powerful and God is all knowing and God heals and God made the body and God can heal the body. And all you have to do, the only thing you have to do, is to exercise faith, is to believe that God is able to do that and have faith that if you ask him, then God will respond by healing your body, if that's the prayer. Well, we know that in many instances, there are people, good people, people that we know serve God to the best of their ability, loved God. I mean, we're really good-hearted, good people, and when they passed on, we just know in our limited mind that they are now with God in heaven. But for whatever reason, the prayer for healing went unanswered.
Unanswered.
Again,
yeah.
because we've been taught that all we have to do is pray. But now there is a scripture in the Bible that says that faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
You know, I think that in many cases that scripture, faith without works is dead, I believe that the context that most people put that scripture in is that, okay, that if I profess to have faith in God, yet my life is not exhibiting that faith, if I profess, say, to be a born-again person or saved or whatever the term you want to use, but yet, you know, I'm a thief, or yet, mm-hmm. you know, I treat my brother wrong, or, you know, then my works don't match up with my faith. I think that's the context that most people view that scripture in. But if you take that same scripture and apply it to, say, faith in prayer for healing, you know, your faith without the corresponding works, the works being that you do something, you have a role to play in this. Because let's say, for example, you have been diagnosed with diabetes, which is something that you do to yourself, okay? You get diabetes by dietary choices. And you pray to God to heal you from diabetes, yet you don't stop doing what caused the diabetes, then your works are not in line with the prayer that you're praying for healing. Would you agree with that?
I would agree to that, and I would say that that is the problem that we're faced with. We say that we are Christian and we live the Christian life, but when it comes down to it, we don't put our faith there. We take our faith and we put it somewhere that's not even justified in faith. I mean, there's nothing about it that's faithful, and that's the medical profession. All they do is practice, and we find ourselves relying or putting our faith where other than in the place of where the Bible or a Christian would believe that healing comes from. Healing comes from God. And if you don't put your faith in God, you're going to die. If you put your faith in chemotherapy, that's going to kill you. If you put your faith in a doctor, that's not going to work for you. You got to know where your healing comes from, and you got to stay in that way and know how to stay in that way, because we have been so deprived of most everything. We think that somebody comes along and because they got on a white coat and they tell us to do something, that that's coming from God. That's not always the case. We have to really be able to take what that white coat is telling us and be able to square it with our faith and make sure that we are doing a faithful thing by relying on whatever they say. If you can't do that, then you might as well be in the superstition. And that's oftentimes where we wind up, and it's oftentimes why we get sick and why we stay sick and why we die sick. So we have to, do something different. If you can't keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result, is the bottom line. Yes.
Everybody, by the way, if you have a question or you'd like to make a comment, all you have to do is just press 1 and I can bring you on board and you can ask your question or make your comment. Now, you know, a lot of times people don't have a problem with taking medication if, for example, it's not a shot. You know, a lot of people are scared of needles, you know. But let's say if you take somebody that has high blood pressure and the doctor says, well, you don't have to change a thing. You don't have to change your diet. You can just, you can continue eating meat, dairy, sugar, and, you know, all the bad. But all you have to do is just make sure you take this pill every day, though. You know, just make sure you take this pill every day and you can continue on eating. You don't have to change anything. Just remember to take this pill. Some people are fine with that. Some people will be like, that's it? All I got to do is just take this pill, you know, and I'll be fine.
And they keep doing the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but oftentimes these pills have side effects. And like Dr. Laila Africa said, that a substance cannot be both good and bad. It can't cure, it can't lower your blood pressure and then cause some other condition and still be considered good. It's either good or it's bad. It can't be both. It can't cure this and cause that and still be considered good. So could you talk about just the side effects of allopathic medicine? Because, again, there are a lot of people that are putting their faith in the medical establishment, and, you know, oftentimes they go to the doctor with one thing, but by the time the doctor gets finished with them, they have 5 or 6 things.
Yeah. Well, I would say that that is the crux of the matter. You have to look at it in a way that if you go back to the Bible or go back to what the Bible teaches, it says your food should be your medicine. it tells you that if you do this and do that and do that, you'll be fine. Now, instead of following the Bible, we get sidetracked into what a pill or a drug or something that's not food, and we start relying on that. May hold you for a little while, it may hold you for a long while. But if you kind of, if you got to take the medication for the rest of your life, what are you doing? I mean, it seems to me that if it would make more sense to change the way you're living in a way that it conforms with what we know, that your food should be your medicine. Find out the kind of foods we need to eat, and go to that. And I think that the problem is most of us, we want our cake and we want to eat it too. And oftentimes that's why we wind up in this position where we're taking a medication for the rest of our lives, and we go from high blood pressure to heart disease and to diabetes to arthritis. All of those things are preventable, which means that you can correct them. And if you can correct them, then it's just a matter of understanding what it takes to correct them and spend some time working on changing the way you live, or changing the way you eat, or changing your diet to live it, whatever you need to do, just do something different, and you will find that as long as it's in line with your faith, it'll work out in a way that is more beneficial to you. It may not be most comfortable, and it may take a little longer, but if you apply all the ways we know how now to take care of the body, the fasting, the changing the diet, all those things, if you apply those things first, about 99% of what ails you will correct itself, and you won't have to take medication the rest of your life and run the risk of having an aneurysm or stroke or something else that from the medication. The medications are toxic. They are not fit for human consumption, I think, and to make people think that they are, I think is not genuine. So we have to understand what food is, and how what we are doing now is not meeting the goal of food for the body, the kind of food that the body needs, and we have to learn what foods that we need to eat so that we can move to a place to where the body will heal itself, and that's more of a reliance on faith, I think, than blindly taking a medication that someone gives you that don't know nothing about you.
You know what's interesting too, Brother Coy, is that we, in our ignorance, oftentimes without even knowing, we, before we come into this knowledge about holistic health and adopt a holistic lifestyle, many times we're taught from our childhood, you know, a little baby is taught, say your grace, you know, make sure you give thanks for the... Now, knowing what we know today, that, of course, meat is a killer, dairy
yeah.
is a killer, sugar
yeah.
is a killer, you know, all these
yeah.
things will actually break your body down. Oftentimes, people unknowingly are giving thanks for the death on their plate, you
yes.
know, without even knowing. And of course, they, well, you better eat all your food. You know, some people in this world ain't got no food. You better eat that.
Yeah.
You better eat that
yeah.
that
yeah.
burger. You better eat all that. You better eat all your food. Don't get up until you finish everything on that plate. And oftentimes, everything on that plate is bad. You could have meat, chicken,
yeah.
mashed potatoes,
yeah.
white
yeah.
potatoes,
yeah.
all kinds of, I
yeah.
mean, stuff made with processed food
yeah.
out the box. I mean, you know, just the worst stuff that you could possibly eat. And yes, it is true that there are people in the world that do not have anything to eat. But even God says that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now, that's a very powerful statement, because God says God's people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Well,
yeah.
the logical question someone could ask is, well, God, if these are your people that are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, would you sit back, God, and let your people, be destroyed for the lack
yeah.
of knowledge?
Yeah.
Yeah. Obvious.
Yeah. yeah, He will. He will turn you over to a reprobate mind, and most of the times when we we are bred into a reprobate mind just by the fact of where we come from and who we are. And when you know better and don't do better, that's what's going to happen. You're going to find that you get comfortable in doing what you know you shouldn't do, and then it winds up killing you. You that lack of knowledge is what actually killed you, or the application of that knowledge is what killed you. And really, I think the churches haven't done a good job of really teaching the people how to eat and how to eat to live, and that's what's been missing in our journey through this life, I think. But no one has really given you the secrets of how to live a life, a good healthy life. Mm-hmm. Even though it's in the Bible that tells you what you can eat, what you shouldn't eat, we don't adhere to that. We do exactly the opposite. And the things that we shouldn't eat the most is the things that we eat the most. And mm-hmm. how can we go to a place and find expect healing if we have no concept of what it takes to heal the body, or if nobody comes and teaches you what it takes to heal the body? We are so caught up into the way we do things, and you know, we are raised a certain way, and it becomes a part of us almost. And in order to break out of that, it takes faith. That's where your faith. You really got to have faith, and you really got to have the knowledge, and you have to know how to apply that knowledge so that it benefits you in a way that you don't wind up in a place where you is no good to God or to your family or to anyone else, and you lose and you misplace your whole soul in a way that, you know, you're no good to anyone. You can't serve God. You can't do anything for God. You can't do anything for your family because they're doing everything for you. And we repeat that pattern over and over because no one comes and tells you that you need to stop buying this and you need to stop buying that, because we see it on TV or on the radio or on a flyer or something. And you say, oh, I want some of that, and with no mm-hmm. thought of whether or not it's something that we should really be engage in. And it seems like unless something will kill us or something that's not good for us, unless it's not good for us, we don't want it. And the things that are good for us, we shun away. And why that is, I'm not completely convinced yet, but that seems to be the way it is. The worse things are for us, for as living human beings, the more we like to gravitate to them. And a lot of that is just an addictive nature. And I think a lot of it comes from not having the not being able to apply the knowledge that we know to our lives in a way that it really benefits us and keeps us in a good, healthy state of mind. The mind goes and the body follows the mind, and we want what we want, and don't tell me I can't have this, and mm-hmm. we run ourselves into this disease state.
You know, you mentioned something that's very, very true and very, very powerful, which is that the things that we want oftentimes aren't good for us, and the things that are good for us, we do not want. I mean, we can know that something is bad for us. I mean, we can know, for example, that alcohol has been attributed one of the highest killers in the country. I mean, annually, I mean, God knows how many hundreds of thousands of people in car accidents or die just because of, you know, drunk drivers, you know.
Yeah.
So there has to be, and a lot of these things, you know, dealing with the brain too. So when you look at the, you know, I mean, Raul Nephi Men has done some fabulous work in documenting the brain and the different lobes of the brain, or the different brains, actually, from the reptilian brain to the mammalian brain to the prefrontal cortex and the neocortex, the prefrontal lobe and the neocortex, and how each of those brains contributes to our behavior. And oftentimes the behavior that is displayed by quote-unquote humans is very animalistic behavior. And until we're able to tap into the higher brains, or the higher, even the higher parts of the spirit, then we're going to be subject to making decisions and things and just following that animal, being a slave to the animal,
yeah.
instead of that, having the animal on the leash. The animal got you on the leash. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And so, as a matter of fact, I want to just recommend, there's also in the archives an interview with, speaking of brains and how that would tie into this discussion, A Healthy and Vital Brain is the title of the show, and it's by Shechem Tebrahim Sa'ah, one of
yeah.
the priests with the Osiriset Society, and he really gets into a very, very good explanation of the different brains and how that the different brains affect our behavior. But Brother Coy, let's talk, if we could, for a moment about the devil, because the devil gets blamed for a lot of stuff. I mean, if somebody gets sick and they say they're a Christian, their first thing that's going to come out of their mouth in many cases is, "Oh, I'm under attack. The devil put this on me." Well,
yeah.
the question would be, because again, Brother Coy used the what God made, plants and vegetables and fruits, and did what he knew to do, fasting and enemas, and exercising, doing whatever regimen he used to cure his mother. If the devil, I have a question, it's a rhetorical question, everybody. If the devil gave Coy's mother cancer in both of her breasts, her liver, and her colon, would the devil then just stop messing with Coy's mother just because she changed her diet? You know, would the devil
yeah.
just be like, "Okay, she changed her diet, so I'm going to leave her alone now"? You know,
right.
Would it be that simple? Dr. Lathan, who's a regular on this show, cured herself of thyroid cancer. For those who would say, "Well, the devil put the thyroid cancer on her," would the devil allow her changing her diet? That's all she had to do, is just change her diet to get the devil off her back? I mean,
right.
So you have to logically ask these questions and ponder them, because for those who believe in the devil, would the devil put something on you that you could get off of you just by changing your diet? I mean, really?
Well, yeah,
you know
right.
what I mean?
That again goes back to the faith issue. You without faith, you can't do that. And some things you can do within your own self to the point to where you can get some benefit from, but to really defeat the mind that led you into disease, it takes faith. You may not be able to do it on your own. In fact, that's why you go through this process of fasting and changing and eating raw and eating juicing, all of those things, is to strengthen your mind so that you can defend yourself from that, because the devil don't stop. He's 24/7. Once you stop the eating the meat, he'll find something else to get you with, the sugar maybe. If you stop the sugar, he'll find something else to get you with, the alcohol, or you could pick up a bad habit or something. The devil never stops. So you got to build your mind to a place to where you can resist things that you know you shouldn't do, so that for your own benefit. You got to understand that this is for your benefit, and you're doing this because you want to be around and to be with your family, and you don't want to be a burden to anyone, and you have to have a greater purpose to engage in getting yourself well and making yourself do what you need to do. It takes a greater purpose sometimes, and that's why you got to rely on something other than yourself. And you got to put it in the hands of a entity or your God or whatever you want to call it, that can keep you strong, that can strengthen you to the place to where you can defeat your mind. You have to keep your mind stayed on things that are good and not so much on all the things that go on in the world. And that is the challenge, I think, to really accomplishing anything. You gotta focus on it. We can go to school and get MDs, PhDs, and all that kind of stuff, and play the best basketball, all that. But when it comes to somehow taking care of your body, we miss the point. We engage in activity that will, over the long run, destroy the body. And after you get to a place to where you can't bear it anymore, then you decide to try to make a change. And oftentimes, sometimes that's just too late. God will forgive you for what you do to your body, but your body won't. So you got this vessel you're in, and you got to learn how to keep this vessel tuned up and oiled up so that it can perform when it's time to perform. And if you destroy that vessel, it's not much that you can do to really correct all the problems that comes with that. But the sooner you get into it, the sooner you understand what you got to do, the better off you'll be in terms of defeating that reprobate mind, I'd say, in terms of doing everything against the body as opposed to with the body.
So what would you say to those people, brother, because there are a lot of people out here from various religions, and some may be atheists. Somebody out there listening might be like, look, I don't believe in God, and I don't believe in the devil either, you know. But if you give the body what it needs, say, for example, an orange don't care what you believe. You know what I mean? Fruits and vegetables don't care what your faith is, you know. So you could believe in the devil and not believe in God. And and still, if you eat right, if you drink water, and you do the things that you're supposed to do and eat a holistic plant-based diet, you could believe in the devil and don't believe in God and outlive somebody that believes in God.
That's correct, because a lot of these, when you get into the religions of the world, that's what they do. They just kind of they don't really deal with the inner soul in a way that you can overcome some things that you need to overcome. The inner soul is a place where you have to you can't work on it by itself. That's where you gotta you have to have a greater you have to go outside of yourself, I suppose, and bring something in. It's in you, but you have to bring it out so that you can live that way. But we are so trained in a way, even the process of making a slave, there's a certain, speaking of the brain, there's a certain part of the brain that you have to control to make a slave. And that is what is what keeps us from doing the things that we should do. You know, we say we got two minds. We know what we ought to do, but we don't, and we do the things we ought to do, but we can't do the things we should do. That kind of thing. It's like we got two minds, and when you can't develop both minds in a way that one can keep one down and bring the other one up to a place to where it can control the things that we do in a good way, then we're going to have a problem with finding ways to get out of that. We're going to be forever going from one to the other. We're not going to be stable. We're going to be unstable in all our ways if we can't control that mind that tells us the right thing to do. And oftentimes that is the problem, because no one really takes the time to go into that. I think that's what the church should be about. But oftentimes we are so hard-headed, or the churches don't have the time, or we don't spend enough time studying what we should be doing, and we miss the whole boat because we still got this thing in us to say, I'm going to do what I want to do anyway, and I've always done it, or whatever, and we go on living this dual life. We go to church for a couple of hours, and then we go back to doing what we always do. And that's, we have to learn how to live that way. Every day we have to live that way. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing we have to learn. And that's the problem with religions. They don't really take you out of that. They would tell you to do that, but, you know, I can tell you you need to stop drinking, but unless I got something greater to give you, it's not going to take you anywhere.
You know, I think, too, Brother Coy, for a lot of people, when it comes to those who do resist this information. There are those who hear it and run with it. There are people that hear this information, they're like, oh, that's, you mean to tell me that's all I got to do to get rid of this cancer? All I got to do is just change my diet? That's it? You know, and they're off and running. You know, that's all I got to do so I can stay on this planet with my family and I can get off of this high blood pressure medication. All I have to do is let go of the meat, the sugar, and the dairy. That's it. That's all I have to do.
Yeah.
And then you have other people who are like, man, I can't let go of that. If I got to do I'm sure you've seen them
all. Even if you let it go, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself dropping back into it if you don't stay away from the things that got you into that in the first place. So it's a lifestyle change you got to go through to really make all of this work. And oftentimes we don't have the patience or the time, or we don't take the time to really work on our inner self to the place to where we can actually make a difference in that way.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, if you have a question, just press 1 and I'll bring you on board and you can ask your question. Very, very informational show. Brother Coy, you know, again, when it comes to this information, there are people who, you know, because we're telling people, you got to let go of the meat, you got to let go of the dairy, you got to let go of this, you got to let go of that. And because they're hearing, I got to let go, you know, and when you, if that's in the forefront of your mind of what you have to release or let go of, as opposed to what you have to gain from it or what you might be preventing, you know, then I think for that, a lot of people, therein lies the problem. A lot of people might think, oh, man, you mean to tell me I got to let go of my favorite food?
Yeah.
You know, but if you could actually find something that tastes better than what you're eating now, all you got to do is stop by Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that, the transition that, you know, once you give up something, that you have to replace it with something, but what you're going to replace it with can taste just as good, and you won't even miss what you thought you could never let go of.
Right. That is the whole thing, and it's like this. You gotta have this diet or this livid that actually gives you stimulate the dopamine. That's another part of the brain that really leads to us not being able to control ourselves. We want to increase the dopamine in our brain because that can give you a better high than any drug or any alcohol you can ever take. But we don't understand that about the dopamine that's produced in the brain, or how to feed it in a way that we can it benefits us. We tend to go to the dark side of the dopamine production in the brain by adding drugs and you know, stuff that's not natural. We want something artificial to give us this feeling that we want, and oftentimes we don't even know what the feeling that we want is. That's why we overdose sometimes, because we try so much stuff and try this, try that, try that, until we just confuse our brain to the point to where it can't function, and we kill ourselves. And oftentimes that's what's happening with these diseases that we get. We just can't stop doing the way we were raised, the being influenced by what we see on TV, all of those things. If you repeat something long enough, after a while, parts of the brain will begin to believe it. So you have to give your brain another narrative that would give you. That would take you off the road of the dark side of the dopamine production and put you on something like, if you just go raw for a couple of days, that may not work for some people because they don't understand that their body is full of all these toxins that they have that you have to get rid of. And so that process may not be comfortable sometimes. It may be uncomfortable to actually stop eating the fish, the chicken, the pork, the beef, because all this stuff has built up in you, and it's going to take some time for you to flush that stuff out. That flushing period can be not very comfortable, but on the other side of that, you will get the feeling, this exhilarating feeling that you've accomplished something, number one, and number two, that you found a way to stimulate the brain so that it's not harmful to the body. It's the body doing what it naturally does, and the dopamines are flowing because you're feeding it the live enzyme foods that you need to get everything to work properly. And you're getting all the elements that you need to give the body so that it can do that. But it's much easier just to go next door to the liquor store and get a bottle and sit back and blind your mind. And it's easier to do that, but is that the best thing for you? Learning how to learning what the body needs, learning how to accumulate those things that the body needs, and using them, actually engaging in them, will oftentimes is the whole process of healing the body. That's how the body heals itself. You got to give it what it needs, a plant-based diet, raw foods as much as you can, and drink your water, get your rest, and get rid of the stress in your life. We create a lot of stress in our lives because that's just the way we live. We create to get up and do the same thing every day, over and over and over and over and over and over every day. And after a while, that stress will wear you down, and you do whatever it takes to get some relief. And that relief sometimes is not, we don't get that relief in the best way. Instead of going next door and get a bottle of liquor and drinking it, you may need to go run around the block or go to the gym or do some physical activity to strengthen the mind and the body so that it's strong enough to deal with the changes that you need to make. So yeah, it's a process that we have to go through. First, we have to accept the process, and then we have to understand the process, and then we have to implement the process in a way that we get some benefit from it, or the benefit that we're looking for. And that takes sometimes we need help with that, and if we don't get that help, we find it almost impossible to really make a difference or to do something different or to, get to that one mind in a way that it can keep us from falling back into harmful activity. So yeah, I would say that is the whole process is getting. It's a process, and we have to go through the process, I guess is what I'm saying, and we have to understand what the process is, and we have to do it. Once we get past that, we are ready to go to work.
Could you talk in the remaining moments, and I want to definitely tell everybody about Secrets of Nature, but just the importance of reading and research, because when you're making a shift in your eating patterns, I mean, that's something you've been doing from birth in many cases, unless you were born a vegetarian or born vegan and you were just raised that way. I mean, there are people out here who have actually never eaten meat in their life. I know Seventh-day Adventists, that's one of the religions or one of the sects of Christianity that believe in a wholesome plant-based diet. And I've met people from that group that have never eaten meat in their entire life. But if you have not been raised that way, then you're going to have to do some research. You're going to have to read. It's going to be important to do that. And I'm certain, I haven't done this study myself, but I am certain that if they did a poll, they would find that most vegetarians and vegans, you may agree with this, Brother Coy, most vegetarians and vegans, if they did a poll, they would find that tend to be, or I'll put it this way, let me rephrase it. The people with less education, you would probably find fewer vegans and vegetarians amongst those who have less education and or do not read. Or not because they can't read, they just either don't or won't read. Because
right.
If you weren't born or raised a vegetarian or a vegan, then if you become one, it's because you made a conscious choice that you were going to increase your life, or you read about the benefits and the benefits outweighed the negative effects of what it is that you were currently doing or currently eating. So you had to get information, ponder it, and then it had to make enough sense to you to either to say, you know what, I am making a conscious choice to let go of meat, dairy, sugar, and all of these things because the literature shows that these things are harmful to me. So if you do read, if you are a reader, then it's going to enhance or increase the likelihood that you will read something that backs up the facts that have been proven over and over and over and over again that vegetarians and vegans outlive meat eaters. Would you agree?
I would agree. And not only that, it's the whole process of, like I was saying earlier, the religions, they do part of the job. They don't really go all the way into making that change because even some people like Seventh-day Adventists, if they would get into a place where it's not that they won't ever get sick, they still get come down with diseases, they still get cancer, they still get all those things. So it's something they're missing in a way that that should be a part of the religion that they do. And Christians are even commanded to study to find yourself approved. And unless you study, you're just doing what someone tells you to do or what you've always done, you run the risk of falling off the study wagon. If you're not studying, you really have no grasp of what you're doing or why you're doing it. So it's easy to just find something else to take the place of what you thought you should be doing. So when you think you got the perfect diet, you find that there's still something you don't know. And we have to go to a place to, the only way to deal with that, we have to go to a place to where we can understand what we're doing, why we are doing it, and the effects of it, not only the medications that we take from the doctor, but the foods that we eat. We have to understand, even though we may not be eating meat, it's something else you may be eating that's causing just a greater as great a problem. So we have to learn how to vary our information in a way to where we don't get stuck into bringing all these diseases on ourselves for no reason. So studying is a big part. Yeah, you gotta study. If you don't study, you're just what they call, I guess, a useless eater, and you're gonna be tossed about from one whim to another for anything that comes along. So you have to get your faith firm into your life so that you can stand on it and feel comfortable that you are doing what you need to do. And oftentimes you have to get outside. You can't sit in your house and look at TV all day and say I'm going to be a perfect. You got to get out in the world and you got to work with other folks. You got to find out what they do. You got to tell them what you do. It's a sharing. It's a relationship you have to build with your life in a way that it actually serves the purposes of what you need to learn to live a better life.
So what do you say to those who take the position, because if somebody is resistant, they'll find a reason. They'll find a reason not to do it, you know, in spite of the literature. You could give them the literature, you could give them the info, you know, and in spite of it, if they're determined that they're not going to change, one of the things people say is, well, I knew somebody, my grandmama lived to be 95, she lived to be 104, and she ate, drank, smoked, and did everything. What do you say to that?
But she probably did something else that you missed, yeah. But yeah, but that's one reason. You know, I can sit here and I can do the best I can in terms of providing an alternative way to eat, but unless you can bring yourself to the point to where you can actually come in and try it and see it, I'm just sitting here looking out the window. So you have to be willing to go out and experiment sometimes. You have to find out what really works for you, and you have to find out how you really want to approach this thing in terms of your own life so that you can get the benefits out of whatever you learn. So the knowledge is important, but you have to still work to, you know, to exercise that knowledge in a way that it benefits you. So yeah, we won't be able to get everybody, and everybody won't come along, and we're going to lose a lot of people. We'll probably lose more than we gain, but at least we are on the front line trying to make a difference and trying to get people to join in and be a part of a different way of living, and that's really about as much you can do. Everybody won't come, and everybody won't go. So you take who come, you do the best you can with them, and you move on.
Well, Brother Coy, as a result of your powerful testimony, I mean, is another interesting aspect of it too. You had gone to school and become a lawyer, or had graduated from law school, and then after working with your mother, that was such a profound experience. I would imagine that would change anybody's outlook on life, and it started you down a whole nother path, the path of healing. And so let's talk about Secrets of Nature for a moment. I mean, you went out and established, said, okay, the heck with law school. That's not what God wants me to do. You know, God wants me to share this information. I'm sure that over the years, you probably encountered a lot of resistance in the beginning. Probably in more recent years, as more people, especially our people, have come on board, it's gotten easier. But I'm sure that in the beginning, people probably thought you were crazy talking about not eating no meat.
Yeah, you're right, and that is why we need to be able to explain your position or our position in a way that people get it. Now, that's why we need to study, because there's plenty of evidence out there that confirms the fact that meat is carcinogenic, it's deadly, it'll kill you. And a lot of other things that we engage in, there's a lot of evidence out there to say that it's not the best thing for us. But saying that, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to fall in line and do what they're supposed to do. They'll come in and say, oh, I can't eat that because of this, or I can't eat that because of that, but they'll go out and eat meat all day. And that's just the way people are. So we have to, when you run into people like that, you try to give them some information that they can go and look up, or try to get them to study, and hopefully they'll find out that that what they are doing or the way they are doing their life is not in their best interest, and hopefully you can get them before they get sick or some calamity befalls them that makes them make a change. And you have to work with them that way, and it's almost a daily trudge trying to get people to understand the reason why they need to do live a different way. And that's why I do what I do. You gotta show them the example, work with them, explain to them why. And first time you may not get them, but if you stay with them, or if they stay with you, sooner or later they'll begin to come around and make some changes in their life and understand what you're talking about.
Well, Brother Quay, I know that there are people that want to hear more, so I want to encourage everybody to scroll down the archives. If this was just whet your appetite for even considering making the change to become a vegan or a vegetarian, there's so many benefits to it. You can really increase. Every time I go to the doctor, I get a clean bill of health. Now, of course, there's somebody who'll say, well, I go to the doctor every year and I eat meat, dairy, sugar, and I get a clean bill of health too. Well, God bless you. May that continue. But you can also increase the odds of getting a clean bill of health. Now, does that mean that you won't be, you know, struck by a car? No, I was a vegetarian and got hit by a car, okay? So, no, it didn't stop me from getting hit by a car, but it sure enough helped with the recovery time. I went straight to court, and next thing you know, the ligaments, the doctor was telling me that if I did not have surgery, because I had a torn ACL, a torn MCL, and a torn meniscus, and the doctor told me that if I did not allow him to do surgery, that I would never walk right again. I went straight to Coy. He told me what to do. Gave me some herbs, told me to take this Comfrey, make a poultice, get you some glucosamine, you know, and which I did, and voila, you know, had I listened to the doctor.
Yeah, the body will heal itself,
You know?
Yeah,
but brother, where are you? Because I know that people hearing this information want to get in contact with you. If you're in the Washington, D.C. area, you got to make it a point to get past his establishment, Secrets of Nature, and taste and see the difference.
Yeah. Right off the 495, if you're going north or south, I'm right off of 495 at 210, Highway 210, right outside of the district. And it takes you right out to Fort Washington, Maryland. But 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest, if you happen to be driving during the holiday or just driving down and you want to stop and get something good to eat, come off on 210 North and come in about 2 or 3 miles. You'll see an AutoZone. I'm right across the street from the AutoZone, and I'm here every day except Sunday from about 8 to 6. And if you can't come by, you can call 202-562-0041. That's 202-562-0041. And we'll work it out on the phone if we can, and I can send ship all over the world, really. So mm-hmm. if you need to talk to me or if you need to stop by and get a good meal, feel free to do so. I'd be glad to accommodate you.
And you sell herbal products, right? You do sell Nature Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
Other products.
Got that on the shelf. Yeah.
So we're not promoting a particular company. We're just saying that Nature Sunshine is what got Coy started. Now, you can go there and you can get their other products by other companies. He sells loose herbs. So, again, regardless of where you are, he can ship it to you. So don't say, well, I'm not in D.C., so I can't take advantage of it. Give him a call again at 202-562-0041. You need to write it down, stick it on your refrigerator. That's Secrets of Nature. And the telephone number again is 202-562-0041. Brother Coy, I want to give an announcement before I let you give your closing remarks. For everybody,
okay.
This Saturday, there is going to be, this Saturday coming up, one of my regular guests, Dr. Ruby Lathan, is sponsoring a holistic health summit in Baltimore. This is the third one. It's called the Re-Engineer Your Life Holistic Health Summit. That's this Saturday, April the 29th, and that's from 9 a.m. to 4:30 in Baltimore at 509 Park Avenue. Okay, again, that's 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. That's this Saturday, April the 29th at 509 Park Avenue in Baltimore. If you'd like to register, this is how you do it. You register now at myhealthsummit.com. So you got to go there. If you got a computer, go to myhealthsummit.com. This is going to be fabulous. I mean, they've got, oh, man, they're going to be talking about male and female reproductive health and healing, healing the womb, healing fibroids, healing erectile dysfunction, prostate cancer. I mean, they're going to be talking about plant-based nutrition and raw food demos. I mean, they're going to teach you how to improve and reverse chronic illnesses, the workshops, and I mean, and a free wellness fair, balancing and healing your thyroids, holistic health dentistry. I mean, if you're into holistic health, you're really going to enjoy this. And if you're not into holistic health, you need to be there. Again, that's this Saturday, April the 29th, from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at 509 Park Avenue. And you register at myhealthsummit.com. So, and they're going to be, I mean, there's got to be at least, what, looks like 8 or 9 different speakers that are going to be there. It's going to be an awesome, awesome event. You definitely want to make sure that you check it out. And Brother Coy, again, I just want to take a moment, sir, and thank you for all of your years of service. I know that you never thought 38 years ago when you got the call saying you need to come to North Carolina that call was going to change your life.
Yeah, I sure didn't. But it has, and it did, and I'm thankful because it has kept me straight. And I would say anyone that, you know, if you feel like, if you have a feeling in your life that something is not right or you need to do something different, don't sit down on it. Get up and look around. Find out what's going on in the world and find people to talk to, to broaden your knowledge so that you can actually address some of the feelings that you have within. You know when you have something that's not right, you can feel it, and you don't need to sit on it. You need to venture out and find out the answers that you need so that you can not feel that way. You should have a happy, healthy, prosperous life, and you should be able to do that anyway, in your own time and the way you want to do it. So I would encourage anyone that feels like they need to make a change, don't sit on it, move on it, and continue to study and find people that can take you to places that you may not understand or quite know yet, and be willing to be a student and learn. That's the best we can do with it.
You know, Brother Coy, I'm just very, very thankful that you're one of my regulars on this show. And again, I encourage everybody to scroll down the archives. I mean, Coy and I, we've talked about, I mean, you name it, every different aspect of holistic health you can think of, from diabetes to high blood pressure to fasting to juicing, I mean, to whatever the condition is, colon cancer, you know, I mean, you name it, whatever different cancer, breast cancer, I mean, you name it, we've talked about it. And just so that people know that when it comes to this healing, as Dr. Latham says, when you heal the body, you heal the body. So we're not just talking about healing cancer, okay? Yes, Coy's testimony is that he cured his mother of cancer in both breasts, her liver, and her colon, okay? But since then, I mean, he's treated people with diabetes, high blood pressure, gout, I mean, tuberculosis, heart trouble, I mean, you name it. Brother Coy can help you get your life together if you're ready. If you're ready to let some things go. If you're ready to let some things go, because you're going to have to let some things go, but he can show you what to replace it with is going to be healthier and possibly even tastier. Your palate is going to have to adjust, your taste buds are going to have to adjust, but if you're willing, you will not regret. Brother Quine, I'm sure that you have never ran into anybody that came to you and said, man, I'm so sorry that I got on this holistic health path. I'm sure that people that don't do that, they don't do that. But there are
No, I haven't heard that yet. It's very rewarding, and it builds your confidence. It really makes you a great part of the world, and you should be anxious to do it, really. It's a great thing to do, to find out that you can make a difference in your own life. That's a great thing to do, yeah.
It's much better to say I'm glad I did than I wished I had. So everybody, I want to you again to get by Secrets of Nature in Washington. Give Brother Coy a call, whatever the condition is, whether it's cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, I don't care what it is. You just need to talk. Give him a call and start the process because it's time. My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Brother Coy, I'll be in touch. Awesome, awesome show, my brother. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
And I thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity to address you and your audience, and I pray you all be blessed and good health.
Thank you, sir. Everybody, that is King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Again, everybody, look, you might have come to this information, but you didn't come to it by accident. There are no accidents. Either it's for you or it's for somebody you know. Either it's for you now, or it's going to be for you tomorrow. But now you have options. You've heard it. You can't say you never heard it. So either it's for you or it's for somebody that you know. It might have gotten to a point where you say, look at my life. I don't know how I got here. My body's breaking down. You know, I don't know. The doctor's telling me I need surgery. And now I'm hearing this show on holistic health. Can it really be true? You mean, all I have to do is change my diet to a live it and let go of the meat, the dairy, the sugar, and I can actually get rid of this condition? I can get rid of this cancer? I can get rid of this diabetes? You mean to tell me I don't have to take high blood pressure for the rest of my life? You mean to tell me I don't have to take insulin for the rest of my life? That I can actually reverse the aging process? Yes, you can.
Yes.
If you're willing, yes, you can. So give Brother Coy a call and start the process. 202-562-0041. My name is Juwanza. Who am I? I am the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you?
Great day.